Okay, so last couple of times we were giving Dhamma talks, the talk was about dana or generosity. So continue with that theme, because there's a lot of things to say about dana. It's a very important part of the practice. Generating a generous mind, an open mind, is a prerequisite really for developing the rest of the virtues. And so if we can open our minds up in generosity, then we will have a good basis for being able to develop the rest of the virtues and making good progress along the path. One of the places where dana or generosity figures is within the set of parami that has to be developed by the bodhisattva on the way to Buddhahood. Now, in the Theravada understanding, not just anybody can become bodhisattva. You can't just simply make a determination and say, now I'm going to be a bodhisattva. In the Mahayana understanding, you can do that. But in the Theravada understanding, then you have to have certain conditions fulfilled, like you must already be able to attain jhanas and so on and so forth. And then you must be in the presence of a living Buddha. This is the important part. You have to be in the presence of a living Buddha, and at that point, you can attempt to make a determination to become a Buddha yourself. So this happened with our own Gautama Buddha. When he was an ascetic called Sumedha, there was a Buddha arisen in the world at that time called Dipankara. And Sumedha made a bridge out of his body for that Buddha to walk across on his way to an alms giving. And afterwards, he made this determination to become a Buddha himself. So then, after he had been accepted by Dipankara Buddha as a Buddha aspirant himself to be a fully qualified bodhisattva, at that point he looked around to see what qualities would be necessary to be fulfilled in order to attain to Buddhahood. So these are known as the perfections. In the Theravada we have 10 perfections, the first one of which is dana or generosity. And in all the sects that dana occurs, it always occurs as the first one, because as I was saying, then the development of generosity in the mind lays the basis for the rest of the virtues. Now, although it's the first of the virtues, it's also the most difficult of the virtues to be fulfilled. You might think with the other 9 includes things like wisdom and so forth, you might think that those are very difficult. But in fact, the first one that has to be fulfilled and the last one that's fulfilled is the perfection of dana, perfection of generosity. And in his last life on earth, the bodhisattva fulfilled that perfection. But meanwhile, during the long journey in samsara, it said in the commentaries that it took 4 asankhyas and 100,000 aeons. So an aeon is like a world evolution and a world devolution. It's a really incredibly long time, you know, from like what we would think of as the Big Bang until the end of the universe. That's one aeon. And then the Buddha's been, or the Bodhisattva rather, has been travelling through the universe for 100,000 of those aeons, and 4 incalculables. That means you can't even count them, it's so long, it's such a long period, you see. And during that time, during the whole of that time, then he was actually having to bring to perfection these 10 qualities. Now then when you're developing the perfection of dana or generosity, it's developed in 3 grades. So this is an interesting thing. It's not just a matter of giving away material gifts, but that is plays a large part of it. There's many stories recorded in the Jataka stories of, that's the stories of the Buddha's former lives, of the Buddha being reborn, say as a king or as a rich merchant, and then he sets up alms stalls at the 4 gates of the city, and anybody who enters receives alms So there's actually four types of recipients that were given to traditionally in ancient Indian society. That means Brahmins and Samanas, and those who were in need, like widows and so on and so forth, and the poor. So the poor and needy is the third and the fourth. Now the Brahmins are the people who, you know, perform the ritual needs and so on and so forth. These are also regarded as being people who are worthy of being supported. In present-day Buddhist society, there's many monks who actually carry out a lot of the ritual practices that are required by the community. So that's one sort of recipient of gifts. Another one is the Samana. The Samana is basically what we would now say is the meditation monk. And then there's, as you know, there are people in need in various ways. That means the old, sick, means people who have nobody else to look after them, maybe like widows or so on and so forth, and also disabled and children, orphans and so on and so forth. So the Bodhisattva would perfect the first grade of the perfections by giving away gifts without limit really to anybody who is in need. And there are actually, you know, maybe scores of stories of the Bodhisattva fulfilling the perfection in this way. Now these stories are important because they give an example that we're all able to follow, and that's a very important thing. We see today, when we see the heroes that are held up for our emulation, they're actually not very wholesome and they're not fulfilling good qualities. Now in medieval society, basically the heroes were like the Bodhisattva and so on, and the stories, the lives of the Bodhisattva and what good deeds he did on the way to becoming a Buddha. And those were the things that people would emulate and everything. So I think it's a bit of a shame that these stories are not so well known now, because they actually stand to show us a better way of living and something that we can all aspire to. And if we see people giving very generously and everything like that, and that this is well thought of, then that also inspires us to do it. Now the second grade was that the Bodhisattva gave also of his limbs as well. So that's a more difficult grade, for people to fulfill. So for instance, when he was king of the Sipis, then he had already fulfilled the first grade, that is, of giving material gifts. He'd given to everybody that could possibly receive, and in actual fact there weren't many recipients left to give to. And the Lord of the Gods decided to try Sibi to see how great his generosity was. So he came to the king's courtyard and then he requested for his eyes. So it's not easy to give your eyes, of course. But the Bodhisattva, without hesitation, was also willing to give up his eyes to anybody who requested them. So that's one example of the second grade that the Bodhisattva fulfilled on his way to perfecting generosity. Okay, now it might seem difficult to fulfill perfection in this way, but of course if you're going to become a Buddha, then you're going to have to make, you know, certain sacrifices, and these are part of the sacrifices that you must do everything to fulfillment. And the fulfillment in this case is being able to give even body parts. But even people today, it's not an impossibility to be able to do this. There are, as everybody knows, I think, there are cards that people can carry whereby if they are involved in an accident or whatever it is, afterwards their body parts can be used for other people. So in that way, even like normal people who don't feel very, you know, don't have that determination that the Bodhisattva has, can still manage to fulfill this perfection. As long as when you take the card, you do it with the understanding that this will benefit other people, then it's a really good karma, and it will produce the same sort of result in the end. So people can carry around, you know, these donation cards, whereby if they're involved in accidents and so on, then their bodily parts can go to benefit other people. And that's a really useful and good thing to do. As long as you do it with the right intentions in the mind, that's the important thing. As I was saying in the previous couple of talks, it's always having the right intention, the right understanding and so on, that plays such an important part in whether these are wholesome actions or whether they're careless actions or whatever it is like that. Now the third grade is to be able to give your life. So the Buddha the Bodhisattva in many existences also laid down his life for other beings. There's many instances of this. One famous one, which is not found in the Pali canon, but found in the Sanskrit canon, is when the Bodhisattva saw a tigress, a very famous story about a tigress who was starving in a cave, and she had some young, so she was looking at those young and thinking of eating them. And then the Bodhisattva saw this and being moved by compassion and aware of the long journey in samsara, he actually decided to offer up his own body so that the tigress would be able to be fed and able to feed her children. And he would just go on, you see, with understanding unto another life. Now you might think it's extreme to give up your life and so on and so forth, but you'd be really surprised how many people do exactly that, given certain circumstances. You know, so many cases of people going back into burning buildings and giving up their life in the attempt to save other people. So this altruism is not so rare, actually. People quite often will undergo really extreme danger in order to help other people, even ordinary people, let alone somebody who's made a bodhisattva vow. Even ordinary people who are nothing very special, or they wouldn't think about themselves as being very special, will, in the right circumstances and under the right conditions, they'll be prepared to lay down their lives in order to help other people. So although you might think some of this is a little extreme, in actual fact, when the circumstances are right, most people are prepared to go to do these things in order to help others. So in fact, when you see it in that light, it's not so extreme at all. It's just that the Bodhisattva is doing it with understanding from the beginning, and he's doing it with this desire for awakening or enlightenment. Okay, so we've been talking about the Bodhisattva making this determination to fulfill the perfections in order to become a Buddha. But for anybody who wants to attain awakening in any of the three vehicles that go to awakening, that's to Buddhahood or Pachenka Buddhahood or to Arahatship, also has to fulfill these perfections. So you can see then that how important it is to develop all these qualities. We're only talking about generosity today. There's nine other qualities that have to be brought to fulfillment. But for anybody who wants to attain to awakening, they have to make these determinations and fulfill these perfections in order to lay the basis for them to be able to get to awakening. So when you do a good deed, like doing a dana, you should always do it with the motive behind it should be that you want to attain awakening. And then eventually, if you don't make that actual determination while you're doing the dana, you will get the return, but it will be a worldly or mundane return. That means you will get like a heavenly existence or a very good existence in the next life and so on and so forth. But if you want to attain nibbana, then you have to make the determination when you're doing good deeds that is the reason that you're doing the deed for. So now when you're doing the dana today, or when you're doing the dana at any other time, or whatever it is, all the good deeds that you do, try to do it with right understanding, try to do it with the right intention, and make a good effort at it. Don't just do it habitually. Doing it habitually will lower the result. If you do it with good understanding, then in fact the result itself will be that much better, and you will make quicker progress through samsara, and eventually everybody will be able to attain nibbana. So everybody say sadhu.